The following presentation was recorded at the Marquette Regional History Center on February 26, 2014, with author and playwright Tyler Tischler. For more information about Tyler's work, please visit www.marquettefiction.com.
Okay, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Tyler Tischler, and I'm a local author. I like to brag that I'm a seventh generation resident of Marquette on two branches of my mom's side of the family. And I've written several novels about the Marquette area, the Marquette Trilogy, My Marquette, which is a history of Marquette. They're all in the bookstore there if you're not familiar with them. But I had not written a play before. And last August, I got an email from Kay saying she wanted me to come down here and talk to her about a creative project. And I was really, really busy. I was busy with a bunch of summer events, book signings, art fairs I go to. As my day job, I edit books for other people, and I was just swamped with books to edit. And then I have my own novels I'm in the middle of writing, and I thought, I don't have time for a creative project. And I wrote back to Kay. I said, well, do I really need to come down there? Can we just talk about this on the phone? Because I'm really busy. And she's like, no, you need to come down. We really want to talk to you. And so I said, okay, fine. And I thought about it, and I thought, what does she want? And it just, like that, it came to me. She wants me to write a play. I mean, I just knew. I don't know how I knew. I think we were on the same wavelength somehow. And I said myself, I am not going to write a play. I just don't have time to write a play, but I'll go down there, I'll be polite. And so I came down, and Kay and Jessica met with me, and they started telling me about that they wanted me to write a play, and I was like, okay, and I was going to hear them out, and they started to tell me what it was about. It was going to be about Will Adams, who lived in the Adams House over on Ridge Street, off, I think it was 400 East Ridge, right across from St. Paul's Episcopal Church. And I knew a little bit about him and his story, and I understood why that would be the topic for a play. If you're not familiar with Will Adams, he was Marquette's ossified man. And I say that to people who have started asking about the play, and they kind of nod their head like, yes, we know what that means. And I don't know if they really do or not, but I wouldn't have known myself until I started to do some research. But he basically, nobody really knows what was wrong with him, but he had some sort of a disease that sort of petrified his whole body to the point where it started down in his legs and eventually moved its way up his body, so that at some point he still had use of his arms, and then eventually all he could really move was his neck and his head. Just a little bit of background on him. He was born in 1878. And he was actually born downstate. His parents, I believe, died, and he was adopted by the Adams family in Marquette. And he was an active youth. He sang in the boys' choir at St. Paul's, and he played baseball. And in his teens, he started to develop this condition, and nobody knew what was the cause of it. They had several doctors come in and try to give an explanation. The only doctor that it sounds like actually had any guess thought that he had been somehow hurt from a baseball injury, and that had caused his body to start to do this. So I thought, yeah, this is an interesting topic, but I think what really convinced me was when they started to tell me that there was this other woman involved, Norma Ross, and I knew that Will had written an operetta with Norma Ross, but I didn't really know anything about her. And Kay and Jessica kind of suggested that they thought, well, maybe they were more than just friends. And they started talking, and I started to see these suggestions and these ideas, and I really could see this developing as a real play and a real possibility. And I don't want to give away too much of the storyline, but what really makes Will stand out isn't just that he had this strange condition that nobody understood, but that he didn't let it in any way stop him from enjoying his life. And as I said, he had been in the boys' choir. He sang a lot. He also, by the time he was a teenager, he was writing poetry and stories and just very much interested in literature. He became known as really Marquette's expert on literature. People go to him with their questions about literature. And as this disease progressed, he still founded a magazine in Marquette. He ended up having two magazines. And he wrote this operetta with Norma Ross, and he just was—he was very active. And I can't even really imagine how he worked through these artistic projects that he had, given his condition. Before the disease progressed up to his arms, he was very active with drawing, and there are lots of sketches that he did and cartoons that he did in the History Center's collection here. And then later, when the disease progressed to the point where he couldn't move his arms, that's when he and Norma Ross decided to write an operetta together. And he apparently would hum the tunes. He'd come up with the tunes, and he would hum them in his head. And then Norma would, she would write down the music. And Norma, some of you might actually remember Norma Ross. She didn't die until the 1970s, and she taught music in the public schools here in Marquette, and she was very involved with the community theater also. And so probably 6 months back, a lot of you may remember the emails that the History Center sent out. They kept saying, we're looking for information about Norma Ross. Well, that was why, because we were trying to find out all we could about her, and we really didn't find too many people that knew her. I asked around, and she was a member of the Baptist Church, and my great-grandmother had known her. And my great-grandmother died in the 70s, too, but I have her diary, and she mentioned in the diary that she knew Norma, and she used to sing in the choir, but there wasn't much detail there. Some of my mom's cousins who went to the Baptist Church, they knew her. They said she was their Sunday school teacher. But we didn't have a whole lot of information, and so I kind of had to piece things together. I think the clincher is that eventually Will did pass away from his disease. And Norma went on to live another 60-some years after he died. He died when he was about, I think, 31 years old. And Rosemary and I were both surprised by this. The Mining Journal obituary actually said that his death was unexpected. But he just died. He had some, I think he was in a lot of pain. He ate something and he was in a lot of stomach pain, and he went in a few hours. So they didn't expect it quite that much. But Norma never married. And, we think, there might have been a reason why she never married. And she also, I looked through the city directories, and she moved around a lot in Marquette. But I noticed that she always lived very close to the east side of Marquette, where the Adams house was. At one point, she lived on High Street, and she could have seen the church and his house right up the road from there. Later on, she lived in Pine Ridge. So I don't know if that meant anything or not, but she apparently liked that part of Marquette. A couple more things I want to say is that in researching the play, I also found it very fascinating that I started to think about, well, who else was important in Will's life? And I wanted to know more about his family. And I knew that there had been a sister, Bertha Adams, and she was the last member of the family who lived in Marquette. And she died in 1940. But I didn't really know anything about her. And in researching her story, I found some really fascinating facts there. And one of them is that she married a doctor in Marquette, Dr. Dawson. And she actually, when she was 22, I think about 20, 22 years old, she had gotten married. The Adams had been vacationing in Texas, and she had gotten married to this man, George Beard. And there was a big write-up in the Mining Journal about their wedding. And 17 months later, there was a notice in the Mining Journal that Mr. Adams was going to Texas to arrange for the funeral of George Beard. So after just 17 months, her husband had died. I mean, can you imagine being a widow when you're like 22 years old? And the same day, the Mining Journal had a notice saying, Dr. Dawson has come to Marquette to set up practice. And I thought, that has got to be fate. The same day her husband dies, her next husband moves into Marquette. And I don't know how she met Dr. Dawson or what was involved, but I think probably Will brought them together, because he was a doctor, and they probably called him in as one of the several doctors to look at Will's condition, and that's probably how they met. And and got connected to each other. So that's all I'll say, but we will be performing the play in September, and I hope that you all will enjoy it. And Jessica is going to read one of the scenes from the play, which is set when Norma and Will are still kind of children, teenagers. So I will introduce Jessica.
Hi, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to be portraying about roughly five characters in this scene. It won't be a dramatic presentation as much as it will be just a dramatic reading of the scene. The scene is scene five. It takes place in downtown Marquette on Valentine's Day in 1889. Norma? Will? Will? What are you doing out? What do you mean? You act like it's a bad day. It's a comfortable 27 degrees, prime mid-February weather, and there's hardly a snowflake on the sidewalks. But you're by yourself. Norma, I'm 15. Not likely to get lost downtown. But how did you get here? Why, I wheeled myself here. All the way from your house? Yes. I admit it got a bit hairy coming down the hill on Front Street. Thought I might break my neck, actually. But Mr. Kaufman got in my way and provided a good stopper for me. Though perhaps not so good for him. I'm afraid he tore his trousers. But why would you do such a dangerous thing? Norma, it's Valentine's Day. So? I saw you walking by the house and needed to catch you. Why? To give you this. Oh, Will, no one ever gave me a real Valentine before. Aw. Look at that! Norma's got a cripple for a boyfriend!
He is not cripple! He had a baseball accident! He's going to get better!
Baseball accident? Oh, yeah, he's Will Adams. He was one of the best ball players in Marquette until he became a cripple.
He is not a cripple!
It's okay, Norma.
It isn't okay. You can't just go around town calling people names like that. Why, he's twice the man you are, Ernie Ludlow. He's strong and kind and brave and, well, he has a beautiful singing voice and
singing's for sissies. Yeah, singing's for sissies.
That's funny, since I heard you humming the other day.
Humming's not singing, and I can run and jump, and that's more than he can.
Why don't you go jump off a cliff, then? Come on, Norma. Let's go.
That's right, sissy. Run away, since your girlfriend can't protect you.
Ernest Ludlow, you get over here right this minute. Why, I've been looking all over for you for the last half hour. Now just you wait until I tell your father you took off on me. I hate to think what he's likely to do to you.
Mama, well, you don't have to tell father, do you?
Who's a sissy now? Norma, you shouldn't have done that. Why not?
Well, what if they had hurt you? Not really in a position to protect you.
I'm not afraid of them. These are just cowards.
Well, now, I can see just how wise you are, and strong, too, I dare say, for a girl.
Don't you start in on me either, Will.
Start in on you, my best girl? Absolutely not. Well, I'm complimenting you for your strength. Why, you have the makings of an Amazon warrior. And
I suspect. Well, you're even strong enough to push me back up Front Street before anyone finds out I left the house. Oh, well, gosh, I'll give it a try. Sure. And then I'll bet my mother will want you to come in for cake she made special for Valentine's Day. Well, that is if you don't mind having tea with a cripple. Will, don't say that. You're going to get better. Absolutely I am. By the way, I was just joking about riding down Front Street in my wheelchair. Father pushed me down on his way back from lunch.
Thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Tyler. September 8th, 18th, and 19th at Kauffman Auditorium. So we expect to see you there.
For more information about Tyler's work, please visit www.marquettefiction.com.